There's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away the gloom. For Jesus is in this very room.
In this very room. In this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us.
And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away. Lord Jesus, is in this very room. And in this very room, enough love for all the world. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all the world. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to change.
About 3 years ago, I remember standing right out here in our parking lot, and they were constructing a steeple to go, a new steeple on the top of our church, God's church. And as they were putting that top spire together, I told the company it was doing, and I said, can y'all hold off a few hours or maybe a little bit? When I was standing out there in the parking lot, I'll never forget, God said to me, and I don't mean in an audible voice, folks. I don't mean in some kind of, it was just a sense of the Spirit I knew that was right. He said, Randy, don't you ever forget, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Don't let those folks come because of you, that you grew up here. Don't let those folks worship because of a pastor or a staff. you make sure, they're there to worship me. That's been the goal every day of my life since I walked in here to be your pastor. And as long as you let me stay, that will be my goal. So we had a little fiberglass plaque done. The guys I know down here did this for us. Remember the scripture? John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus was about to die. And he said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto myself." I went back to that verse this week, folks. Monday morning, I started a piece of paper with about the smallest print that I could print because I knew it was going to take a book. And I started writing and writing and writing. Then I had to go back and condense some into one line or a few words because it was going to take. I was one of those books Doug was talking about. And I finally got it down to about as little as I could get it on a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper, which probably should have took a whole lot more to put together. But I prayed and I said, "God, would you bring to my heart every sin in my life?" And folks, you know churches are not perfect. Y'all do realize that, don't you? We are sinful creatures. And we don't have a perfect church here. We've made some mistakes in the 100-plus years we've been here. We're human. We're church. God never said this church is going to be perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, God be with you. You won't find it on this earth. So we're not perfect. We make a whole lot of mistakes. We fall flat on our face. This pastor runs into walls. You know, you remember the Superman movie where they catch a speeding bullet, you know, and all this stuff? I don't. I run slap into walls. I don't jump over them sometimes. And God lets me run into them because he teaches me so much when I run into them. He teaches me to wait on the Lord. And I guess in my old age, folks, I've really gotten slow, not physically slow, but I want to wait on God. People interpret that as just me being laid back. Don't do it. Folks, I'm not going to do anything until God gives me a peace that I believe we ought to do it, my heart. Pastor. You know, the early church got together just to pray. And I hope you guys will forgive me. Over these last now almost 6 years, other than one Sunday, I don't remember that we've had a time together where we just come to pray. Now, Wednesday night, yes, I'm talking about in a worship service like this. The early church just gathered together in a time of prayer. And I just wrote some scriptures down. This is, as you saw, this is no sermon. Just listen. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. "And all these were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. All the church came together for prayer. And when they had prayed," verse 31 in Acts chapter 4, "the place where they assembled was shaken." Wow. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak God's message with boldness." God just answered their prayer. They asked God for boldness, and God said, "Okay, here it is." Acts chapter 6, verse 4, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry." The 12, they came together. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, "So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church." Acts chapter 13, verse 3, "Then after they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them off." And then Acts chapter 14, verse 23, "When they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they have believed." So many times, and as God is my witness and I have breath in my body, there are going to be times on a Sunday morning where we just come together and pray. Just pray. A short beginning part of our service, and then just come together and pray. But folks, before we ever come to that point of prayer, of asking God, the Bible says, and the psalmist cried out, "Create in me a clean heart." David did that. He begged God for a clean heart. How many of you all, and I, this would be a show of hands, have sinned this week? I believe we got us 100%. So there's at least something you can put on a piece of paper. confession of sin is incredible. It's a private matter, yes, it is. It's confession. We're not asking anybody in this house to confess your sin in front of the people. But I am asking you to confess it before God. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and then to obliterate it. That word cleanse means to obliterate. It means, you know, like spick and span clean. That's the type clean. Psalm 32, verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. And this morning we're talking about our personal sin, and we're talking about our sin as a church, where we've blown it and sinned against God, and just asking God to forgive us. Folks, we can't ask God for His continued vision with any unconfessed sin in our life. You remember the illustration I did a few weeks ago in the message? We build up this unconfessed sin, and God never moves. We're the one who moves. Let's bring that back in a complete relationship with God. Then I want you to hear these scriptures, and then we're going to pray. Repentance. The Bible teaches that God's people must repent. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, there's come a time where you have repented. You have turned from your sin toward God. You have asked God to forgive you that sin, and He's done exactly what 1 John 1:9 says He would do. But listen to the scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 13. No, verse 3 and 5. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as well. Are those that the Tower of Siloam fell on and killed, those 18, do you think they were more sinful than all the people who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, then turn back so that your sins may be wiped out and the seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. David had sinned, folks. Bad. He'd made a mess of things. Committed adultery. The man after God's own heart, probably the closest man in the Scripture we knew to God, had committed adultery. And David couldn't stand it any longer. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and you can read of this account where Nathan, the prophet, showed up to David and basically used the illustration. Nathan told the story of a rich man, and in spite of having everything, stole a poor neighbor's only female lamb, a ewe, to provide a feast for his guest. And David was enraged, and you remember in the scripture in 2 Samuel 12, he said that the man who would do such a despicable thing of stealing that man's family, that lamb that was like a family member, that man ought to die. And you remember the words of Nathan? He looked at David. David, you are the man. And then David records Psalm 51 as his psalm. Open your bulletin this morning to that psalm. I've got it to the right-hand side. At the top of the page, I have an ownership apostrophe there with the S on it. Would you write your name up there? This is not for anybody else. This is for you. Randy's confession and repentance. Rod's confession and repentance. I could go on. I'm going to begin our prayer this morning. Confession, I know, folks, is a very private matter. Repentance, in that respect. But maybe some of you, after I pray, we don't have a microphone out for you. And they're going to turn off our recording up there during this time. At first, I wanted everybody, our homebound, to be able to hear all these prayers. But I don't want you to have any inhibitions. I want you just to stand and pray. If some of you want to get up out of your seat, you want to come and kneel, you feel free to do so. You stay right there where you are. And then in just a few minutes after that time of prayer closes, Jimmy Brown is going to come and close. And Jimmy has his list too. And he's going to instruct us what to do and share with us for just a minute. And then I can trust you. You can trust me. I'm going to join Jimmy Brown. And my sin's going in that garbage can right there that I've put in here. Only God and me know what's in this little piece of paper. You will never see it. I will never see. I won't even touch that garbage can. I'm not getting close to it other than drop mine on in there. The Bible says in the Psalms that He separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. And if you genuinely confess that sin and you put it in the... You write it down if you can and whatever you want to put to write it down. It's your heart attitude. And then you put it in that waste paper basket right there. And in just a few minutes as we close this service on the front steps of this church, we're going to burn that. The next time that sin comes up in your heart, you tell Satan to get out of your life. Because God says, I separated your sin as far as the east is from the west. You do know what that means. East and west never meet. God obliterates it. So if you sense a leadership to pray verbally, in English or Spanish, it does not matter. God hears all languages. Then you do so. If you want to lead us in prayer, nobody's going to force anybody to do anything. This is just a time where we can come together in a heart of prayer. And then you know something, folks? John 8:26. We know John 8:28. For God works good in all things to them who love Him. But go back two verses. And you will see that little verse that says, you know, when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Have y'all ever had times where you just don't know what to pray? You just don't know what to pray? You have to worry. The Holy Spirit of God intercedes for you and me. We may need to ask Him to do that for us this morning. Would you pray? Every head bowed. And while we're praying, if you do, God brings something to your heart, you need to write on your piece of paper, then write it down. And then this morning, in just a little while, when you come, as Jimmy will come and share with us at that time, you've got a little construction piece of paper in your bulletin. That's for a chain link, folks. Y'all remember those chain links we used to make as kids, prayer chain? I've got it in your bulletin. I want all of you to join me and make a commitment, if you will, that every day at 12 noon you'd say a prayer for Olive Springs. None of us all can be together at 12 noon. But we can all be together in prayer. Would you commit to doing that? So in just a few minutes after our prayer, when we come forward and we bring our little pieces of paper and we put them in the sin basket here, will you just take a minute and sign your name to that, would you? Just saying, Randy, I'm going to commit with you. At 12 o'clock every day, I'm going to take a few minutes and just pray for Olive Springs and pray for God's will and pray for the people and just pray as God brings to mind what you need to pray for. We're going to build this prayer chain over this next month. This is from our vision team. I thank God for these folks. And we're going to come together. We're going to put this chain all over this church where we can see the amount of people that's praying for Olive Springs. And then even over these next few weeks, if you'll call people in your family and other people in your son and you ask them, our homebound, they can't here physically, sure pray for us where they are. You come sign one of these and put it on this table. This table is going to remain here for these next few weeks, and we'll add to our prayer chain. And folks, we're going to see. Send it out on emails. Ask people to join us in prayer. Let's get people praying for Olive Springs Baptist Church around this world. Amen? Let's pray.